Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Serino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. A lot to get to today. Very newsworthy Monday and Tuesday here. I'm recording this just after Mike Tomlin's press conference, and we have a ton of new updates. Le'Veon Bell speaking to the media for, I believe, the first time since his holdout started. We've heard him make some social media comments about how, you know, he's doing this for guys like Earl Thomas and he'll be the bad guy, that kind of thing. Of course, we've seen him out and about. TMZ has certainly been following Le'Veon Bell here and there, but these are the first comments he's made publicly, and we now have a date when Le'Veon Bell intends to show up. And again, these are not reports coming from sources inside Le'Veon Bell's camp. This is coming straight from Le'Veon Bell himself. He will be back with the Steelers in just a couple weeks. We'll talk about that today. We'll also talk about the comments that Mike Tomlin made at his press conference today on Tuesday, and we'll also go over the injury report for the game against the Falcons on Sunday. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Tony Serino. I do want to apologize. Yesterday, I went on a little bit of a rant there. You know, these late games lead to, you know, late night rapid reaction. And, you know, I can get a little heated at times, especially considering the problems the Steelers are having defensively and how little the Steelers have done, or how much it feels like the Steelers have done little to address those things. So I apologize for getting a little agitated on yesterday's podcast, going on a bit of a rant there. But it's frustrating. It is a frustrating season. It's a frustrating time to be covering this football team. As I said, welcome to the show. I am your host, Tony Serino. You can find more of this podcast by going to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, search Locked On Steelers, hit that subscribe button, and you will get your daily dose. You can follow me on Twitter at Steeler Country. Find us on Facebook, Locked On Steelers. You can like the page or join the Facebook group, or you can do both. And then you can find us on Instagram as well, Locked On Steelers on Instagram. And let's start today with some news and notes. Rookie outside linebacker Ola Adeniyi, who started the year on injured reserve because of that hamstring injury he suffered in the final preseason game, remains on track to get back and practice in a couple weeks when he's eligible to. Remember, on IR means he can come back pretty much midseason or start practicing here in a couple weeks and then return to the 53-man roster midseason. According to Chris Adamski, he is on track to do that. Ola Adeniyi, one of those guys during preseason that Steeler fans really took to as one of these undrafted free agents alongside Matthew Thomas that could really be a difference maker on this defense over time. It'll be interesting to see, number one, when he's eligible to come back to the 53, do the Steelers promote him to the 53-man roster and who is cut at to make room for him? And then does he actually see the field? The Steelers have struggled so far this season winning one-on-one. We've talked a lot about that with their edge rushers and their edge rushers being able to win one-on-one battles. Adeniyi showed some ability during preseason. It was only against second or third stringers. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see if the Steelers are willing to give him playing time during real regular season games. We'll see if he can get back to practice. He's eligible to come back to practice October 15th, and then he'll be eligible to make the 53-man roster a couple weeks after that. Vince Williams and Darius Heyward-Bey are being evaluated for their injuries that they suffered on Sunday. Tomlin saying both may practice. We shall see. Again, practice participation going to be important for both those guys being able to play on Sunday against the Atlanta Falcons. If Vince Williams can't go, Matthew Thomas is certainly in that equation, that according to Mike Tomlin during his Tuesday press conference. So again, we're going to have Ola Adeniyi entering the mix here in a couple weeks. You've got Matthew Thomas, who may see the field this week. There was some rumors that he may see the field against Baltimore. He did not. But again, with Vince Williams going down, you think it's probably more likely that Matthew Thomas sees the field this week, especially if Vince Williams can't go. And then the other thing that happened is Nat Burr was placed on injured reserve after tearing his pectoral muscle. And they promoted second-year cornerback Brian Allen to the 53-man roster. Brian Allen, again, another one of these, not necessarily a rookie, but a young player entering into a secondary where the Steelers need real help. And they just have not been able to find an outside corner opposite of Joe Hayden who they can be a consistent starter for them. And they've tried Artie Burns. They're rotating now with Cody Sensabaugh. We'll see if Cam Sutton enters into that mix after Mike Hilton comes back. And it sounds like Mike Hilton will be back this week. Mike Hilton saying it's all about the swelling and getting a full range of motion in his elbow. The pain is pretty much gone. He hopes to play against the Falcons, and Tomlin does expect him to practice this week. So barring a setback there, you'll see Mike Hilton back in the lineup on Sunday. And that's, again, Mike Hilton, one of the best corners the Steelers have, one of the only good corners the Steelers have right now. It's going to be interesting. You know, you've got Ola Adeniyi entering in. You've got Matthew Thomas. You've got Brian Allen, again, I think the excitement around those three players being on the 53 and potentially seeing time tells you it's one of those things that just tells you what you need to know about the Steeler defense, that we're hoping for an undrafted free agent in Matthew Thomas, an undrafted free agent in Oladini, and a sixth round pick in Brian Allen to kind of change the fortunes of this defense. It is certainly not in a good place right now. And then Morgan Burnett, who has missed the last couple weeks, he will return to practice this week as well, and Tomlin hopeful that he can play on Sunday. And then finally, here in news and notes, the Steelers worked out former Packers cornerback Herb Waters. That is according to Mark Caboli of The Athletic. Waters was a wide receiver in college and made the transition to cornerback. He could be a practice squad addition after, again, Brian Allen being promoted from the practice squad to the 53. Before we continue today's podcast, let me tell you about our sponsor for today's show, MyBookie. You know, just as important as who you're betting on is who you're betting with, and that's why this season MyBookie is your best bet. They've been in business for years, they have great reviews online, and their mobile site is very easy to use. I've been using them all season. They have in-game live betting. You can do your three-team teasers, parlays. I mean, you know, again, they have all the options there for your sports gambling needs on Sunday. And again, their mobile site, I've been using their mobile site just kind of sitting there watching the live lines go through. Their site is fantastic. If you join now, MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar if you use the promo code Locked On. And because they're swamped with new bettors, they want to give everyone the best service possible. So if you wait until after 7 p.m., they're going to give you an additional $25 of free play if you use the promo code Locked On 25. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie, MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code Locked On when creating your account to claim up to $1,000 in free play. And if you're willing to hold out until after 7 p.m., you get that additional $25 by using the promo code LOCKEDON25. You play, you win, you get paid. And then let's talk about Mike Tomlin's press conference today. Kind of a ho-hum press conference overall. He did make one comment that kind of got me agitated. I've heard this a little bit around Steeler Nation that, oh, the defense is getting better because of what happened against Baltimore. The defense, oh, we only gave up field goals in the second half. The defense, you know, it's not, you can't blame the defense for the loss and all of that. And Tomlin said today that we're finding our rhythm defensively, right? He's happy with where we are. We're starting to find our rhythm defensively. No, we're not. We're just not, right? I mean, yeah, again, the idea that because we held Baltimore to field goals in the second half, that's somehow automatically means that defensively we're getting better because they're not scoring touchdowns. Yeah, again, it's this kind of thinking that says, well, we held them to a field goal, so therefore it was a successful drive. And again, I just want to go to the fundamentals. In the second half against Baltimore, did we get more pressure on Flacco? Did we tackle better? Were we better against the run? Were we covering receivers tighter? Did we make it harder for them to convert on third down? Did we get off the field on third down in that game? Or was it because of mistakes by the Baltimore Ravens that led to them having breakdowns in the red zone? Again, I don't think we tackled any better in the second half. I don't think we were any better at getting to Flacco. I don't think we were any better in coverage other than we put two deep safeties and let them kind of pick us apart underneath. But you look at we did this yesterday, but you look at the drive chart in the second half. 12 plays, 51 yards, field goal. 11 plays, 37 yards, field goal. 14 plays, 82 yards, field goal. 6 plays, 14 yards, field goal. That's not a successful second half. If you look back, if you want to say that the Detroit game a season ago was a successful defensive performance because we held them to field goals, again, it ignored everything that happened prior to the kicking of the field goal. That game against Detroit exposed a lot of things that were wrong with our team, specifically in coverage. And the fact that Stafford was able to pick us apart was just a precursor to what was going to happen later in the year when we went up against guys like Joe Flacco and Brent Huntley and then Blake Bortles and all the teams that picked us apart late in the year. And then you fast forward to this season, and it's the same story. I don't buy that we're getting better defensively. Oh, look, we'll break this down on Thursday during the film breakdown, but this idea that we held them to field goals and therefore that means we're a good defense is the same thing you could have said last week. We got 4 turnovers in the first half. We had a great performance in the first half. And again, if you go back and watch the tape, all of the things that happened in the second half against the Buccaneers were there in the first half. The Bucs just made stupid mistakes and turned the ball over. But once they stopped turning the ball over, you know, the floodgates opened and they put up 17 points in the second half and got back into that football game. And that's the same thing that happened against Baltimore. You know, again, the second half, you know, we held them to field goals. That's the best thing you can say. But this idea that we're getting better defensively, the fundamentals don't bear it out. We are not a good tackling football team. We are not good in coverage right now. We are not good at getting to the quarterback. And until those things change, we are going to be a bad defense. And yes, 26 points is better than the 37 that we gave up against the Kansas City Chiefs, or the 42 we gave up against Kansas City Chiefs, and it's better than the 27 we gave up against the Bucks. But it's not great. It's not a good performance. And the four field goals that we gave up in the second half, you know, again, it's not a good defensive performance, and it's not better than what we've seen from this team in the past. I'm not looking at the results as far as did they kick a field goal, did they score a touchdown. I'm looking at the fundamentals out there, and the fundamentals of this defense just aren't there. Our defensive line is not playing well enough. Our corners are not playing well enough. Our safeties are not playing well enough. We are not getting to the quarterback. That is the problem with this defense. Whether or not the offense scores or not doesn't always have to do with how the defense is playing. Sometimes it is just the offense making mistakes out there. And again, we'll break this down further on Thursday's podcast, but I just have to pour cold water on this idea that this defense is somehow finding its rhythm or getting better over time. It is simply not the case. Before we get to the Le'Veon Bell situation, let me tell you about our sponsor for today's show, Vivid Seats, an online event ticket marketplace dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experiences that will last a lifetime. And in Steeler fans, if you've never made the trip out to Heinz Field, you owe it to yourself to do so. There's nothing like watching a Steeler game surrounded by 60,000 screaming Steeler fans, terrible towels waving, Renegade playing on the Jumbotron. You can visit the Great Hall before the game, see all the Steelers memorabilia there, including the 6 Lombardi trophies. You can tailgate outside the stadium, visit the Bettis Bar, pregame at the Bettis Bar, visit it after the game. Again, it really is a tremendous experience. And if you sit on the Steelers sideline, upper or lower deck, you're going to get not just a great view of the game, you're going to get a great view of the Steelers skyline behind it. It really is an awesome experience. Highly recommend you make the trip out to Heinz Field, and Vivid Seats wants to help you get there. They offer great prices and an easy purchasing experience, and for listeners of this podcast, you can get $20 off orders of $200 or more if you're a first-time customer of Vivid Seats. Just enter the promo code LOCKEDON at checkout. Again, go to the App Store or Google Play, download the Vivid Seats app, enter the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll receive $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. All Vivid Seats confirmed offers are backed by a 100% guarantee. All right, and then let's talk about this Le'Veon Bell situation. I kind of want to break this down bit by bit because there is a lot to get to. Again, Le'Veon Bell talking to the media for the first time since he started his holdout. We've seen a lot of Le'Veon Bell from TMZ, and we've seen him out and about from TMZ, but we haven't heard from Le'Veon as far as the specifics of why he held out, what his plan is, you know, what's going to happen in 2019, all of that. And he finally did talk to the media, speaking to Jeremy Fowler of ESPN. So let's just start with what Le'Veon Bell's plan is for 2018. According to Jeremy Fowler, Bell is staying away to preserve his body. We knew that. But he intends to be back during the bye week in week 7, or in the week 7 to 8 timeframe, according to Jeremy Fowler. So again, the Steelers on a bye week in week 7. In week 8, they play the Cleveland Browns, that game in Heinz Field. So again, if he shows up early in the bye week, that gives him some time to get himself back into the organization, you know, get himself somewhat into football shape as far as working through some practices, that sort of thing. And then we'll see what his availability is against the Browns. Again, midseason now, how does he look physically? Is he ready to take on the number of reps I'm sure the Steelers are going to want to give him? We shall see. This means he will miss the games against Atlanta this week. It means he will miss the game against Cincinnati the following week. And then, of course, he'll be back during the bye week in week 7. Having Le'Veon Bell back certainly will help this offense. I mean, the offense has had so many slow starts so far and the poor second halves. The big plays that Le'Veon can create, or the kind of something out of nothing plays that Le'Veon can create, would be more than welcomed in an offense that, again, has gotten into so many ruts early in games and then again late in games. Le'Veon certainly can help in that way. He also talked to Jeremy Fowler about why he's holding out. I think this one's pretty obvious, but here's a quote from Le'Veon. Quote, "I've got to take this stand knowing my worth and knowing I can tear a ligament or get surgery at any time. I knew I couldn't play 16 games with 400 or more touches." This goes to the whole, you know, we're going to run the wheels off him type of thing, which is what all Steeler fans assumed would happen this season. I'm sure that was going to be the Steelers' plan had he showed up week one. And so, you know, look, Le'Veon felt like he couldn't do that. You see what happened to Earl Thomas. I mean, you know, he's got a point, right? I mean, Earl Thomas wanted that deal, couldn't get a deal, held out as long as he could, came back, and then 4 weeks into the season, he's out for the year. It's a tough business, man. And football is a very physical sport. And so for Le'Veon, you know, look, he's going to avoid, what is it? He'll avoid essentially 7 weeks of playing time. We'll see how he looks in the second half of the year. You know, injuries can happen at any point. Again, it only took Earl Thomas 4 games to get hurt. I understand Le'Veon not wanting to go through another season of 400 touches because, again, as we've seen, running backs who put that much wear and tear on their body tend to break down quicker than running backs who do not. So I get it from where Le'Veon is as far as that goes. Now, whether or not he lied going into the season, Le'Veon did address that as well. He said, quote, "This second year on the tag, everybody thought I would do what I did on the first tag and assumed a certain thing, and it offended a lot of people. That's not my fault. You literally thought I'd do the same thing. Everybody thinks I'm bluffing. That's not the person I am. I've always been a stubborn kid. When I have my mind set, that's what I'm going to do." Okay, so here's my problem with that quote, right? It's not my fault. You literally thought I'd do the same thing. Well, it kind of it is. It's you and your agent. Because when you're tweeting out things like, "I intend for 2018 to be my best season," when your agent is saying it would take something exceptional for him not to show up week one, when you're tweeting out the opener, the date of the opener, that makes people believe you're going to be there on week one, right? And so while Le'Veon never came out and explicitly said, "I plan on being there for week one," he did tweet and say, and his agent said a lot of things that made a lot of people, and not just fans, but again, the organization, the players on the football team all believed he would be there in week one. So did he outright lie? No, but he and his agent were extremely deceitful throughout the process. And again, that's why there was such a backlash when he did hold out in week one. Le'Veon also talked about the deal that he was offered. We had heard in the past that the Steelers had offered him a $70 million contract, but the true guarantee was somewhere in the range of $10 to $15, maybe even $20 million of guaranteed in that deal. Le'Veon says the deal was $70 million with a true guarantee of $17 million, and that just wasn't good enough for him. Again, when you look at what David Johnson got, when you look at what Todd Gurley got, Le'Veon somewhat has a point there, right? I mean, David Johnson got $30 million, $31 million guaranteed, and Todd Gurley got $45 million guaranteed in their deals. So the Steelers, again, only giving $17 million. We knew the Steelers' guaranteed money was going to be low. That's how they negotiate. So it's not, again, it's not a shocker that the Steelers' guaranteed money was below what David Johnson got, below what Todd Gurley got. Now, again, we're talking about $17 million versus $31 and $45. You know, again, if Le'Veon holds out to 2019, he's definitely going to get an offer in that range and far above what the Steelers were offering at $17 million. But when we're talking about 2019 free agency, here, to me, is the most intriguing part of what Le'Veon Bell said. He said that during the franchise tag negotiations, the Steelers told him that in 2019, they would apply the transition tag to Le'Veon Bell during 2019 free agency. Now, the franchise tag is what gives you exclusive right to negotiate with a player. Again, no other team can come in and negotiate with a player who has a franchise tag. They could trade him, but you cannot negotiate with that player. The transition tag is different. The transition tag basically just guarantees the original team the right of first refusal to match any offer given to a player. So if the Steelers applied the transition tag to Le'Veon Bell, Le'Veon would still be able to go out and negotiate on the open market and get his fair deal that he wants. But the Steelers would have the right to match it. Essentially, what would happen is if another club offers a contract to Le'Veon, the Steelers would have 7 days to decide whether or not to match the offer or not. And if they agree to match, Le'Veon has to sign with the Steelers. If they do not, then he goes to the other team. And the Steelers don't get compensation for that. And I believe it would also stop the compensation as far as the compensatory pick that the NFL would give for losing a player in free agency. So the third round pick that we're going to be getting in 2020 would go away if the Steelers, if the Steelers don't match that offer. Now with the transition tag, they could work out kind of a sign-in trade type of deal. The Steelers could sign him and then immediately trade him. That is a possibility. So again, trying to get back better than a third round pick for Le'Veon Bell. As far as, you know, we talk about the franchise tag costing $14.5 million this year for the Steelers, and then next year it would cost $23-plus million. The transition tag is less. The transition tag is 120% of what his 2017 salary is. Now, here's where it gets interesting. What is Le'Veon Bell's 2017 salary? Is it the 7 or so weeks that he's going to show up and play? Or is it the full $14.5 million? And this is probably going to go to an arbitrator to decide. Because again, the Steelers can argue, no, your salary is what we paid you because you didn't show up. And he can argue, no, my salary was supposed to be 14.5 by league rules. And that's going to have to go to an arbitrator, and they're going to have to figure that out. If it's the 7 games, then the Steelers would owe him $11 million under the transition tag. That essentially would be their cap hold. They wouldn't keep that throughout the year, but that would be their cap hold while they had the transition tag on him. If it's not, it goes all the way up to like $17 million. If the arbitrator were to rule that no, it's the 14.5. So the Steelers would have to have $17 million under the cap and then have that hold while the Steelers worked out a deal with Le'Veon Bell, or while Le'Veon Bell worked out other deals, and then the Steelers went and decided whether or not they wanted to match. Now, the matching of the offer, the 7 days, that's another interesting one, because that can dissuade a team from trying to sign Le'Veon Bell. Again, if you sign Le'Veon Bell and then the Steelers have 7 days to match, and then they do match, well, now you're 7 days behind in signing the running back that you want. So again, can that dissuade a team from coming in and saying, ah, you know what, I'm just going to sign this actual free agent, because again, I don't want to wait the 7 days. I need a running back. I can't sign Le'Veon and then wait a week and then all the other good running backs are gone and now I'm left with nothing. Now, look, there's no running back that's going to be on the market in 2019 that's on Le'Veon's level, so this may be a moot point, but it's interesting. And again, I think it helps the Steelers in their negotiation of trying to work out a long-term deal with Le'Veon. Clearly, the Steelers still want to work out this long-term deal. That's why they're saying they're going to apply the transition tag. They're not just going to let Le'Veon kind of go free and clear. They want Le'Veon Bell back. They still want to sign him long-term. And so this transition tag, again, is another thing that can help them do that in 2019. I think it's going to be very interesting to see what happens in 2019 as far as that goes. But again, the drama with Le'Veon Bell is not over. It's far from over. Again, he's coming back week 7 or 8. So right then and there, we're going to hear all, you know, as far as the drama of how is he received in the locker room and all of that's going to start back up. And then next offseason, we're still not rid of Le'Veon Bell because, again, the Steelers likely to apply the transition tag and go through a whole drama there as far as will the Steelers match the offer that Le'Veon Bell gets. Or the Steelers trade him. And according to Adam Schefter, the Steelers still are planning on or trying to trade Le'Veon Bell. So it is not a done deal as far as, you know, him coming back and the Steelers playing out this season with Le'Veon Bell on the roster. The Steelers still want to trade Le'Veon. That according to Adam Schefter. And I think the reason for that is twofold. One, we've already talked about this off-the-field drama and all of that kind of has to go away for this football team because they have enough problems on the field to be dealing with any sort of off-the-field nonsense. And while Le'Veon's a great player and on the field, you know, he can definitely help this offense, the negative of that is him coming back and what kind of shape is he in and how is he received and how is the offensive line and all of that and the coaches, and, you know, again, all of that. And is he trying hard enough? You know, I mean, again, the nonsense that's going to happen when Le'Veon gets back into the building, you know, you have to weigh that with actually having Le'Veon on this offense. And I think the other thing for the Steelers is that if they can trade him for a player, specifically a defensive player, specifically a corner or someone in the secondary to bolster that secondary, I think that's where the Steelers' head's at right now. They have to do that. Now, this whole idea that Le'Veon's coming back in week 7 or 8, he's going to sign his franchise tag. We now have a not a hard date, but we have kind of a soft date of when we know he's coming back. That does make trade negotiations a lot easier because now the team that's trading for Le'Veon Bell knows that Le'Veon Bell will be back in the week 7-8 timeframe. They know that he's willing to play half of the season. They know he wants to play throughout the season and into the playoffs, as he told Jeremy Fowler of ESPN. So that does make this trade a little more likely. Still difficult, because again, they're still just trading for a rental. They're still only getting a player for 8 games or so, plus the playoffs. The Steelers are still going to want, according to Adam Schefter, a second-round pick and a good player. Again, the Steelers are going to want a starter-capable player at corner or safety, plus a second-round pick. I still think their asking price is a little high, but as we talked about, you wait this out. You see if a team emerges around that time, around week 7-8, that feels like they're one player away, one running back away, and do they have a corner that they're willing to part with? Do they have a player in the secondary, a defensive player that they're willing to part with? That's a team that you could see make an offer late in this deal. So again, I still think a trade, I think it's still unlikely, but it's much more likely than it was a couple days ago. So again, just a recap here with Le'Veon Bell. He intends to be back during the bye week, week 7, going into week 8 when the Steelers play the Browns. He was only offered $17 million guaranteed, and that is why he turned the deal down. Again, that is almost half of what David Johnson received as guaranteed, and far less than half of what Todd Gurley got. The Steelers intend on transition tagging him in 2019, meaning that they will have the right of first refusal to match any offer Le'Veon gets during the 2019 free agency. And the Steelers still are trying to trade Le'Veon Bell again for a pick and a player. All right, that'll do it for me today. Thank you all for listening. If you want to leave feedback, SteelerCountry@gmail.com is the email address. You can follow me on Twitter @SteelerCountry, and I'll be back tomorrow for Crossover Wednesday right here on Locked On Steelers.